This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. On this program, we address topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas, and a topic that is of great importance to people not only here but around the world is climate change. And today we talk with someone who is really focused on the realities of climate change and with his team is planning for what collectively we can do to deal with those changes. We are talking with Zach Baumer, who is the Austin Climate Program Manager with the City of Austin Office of Sustainability. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing great today.
What in the Office of Sustainability? We've talked to some of your colleagues before, but what's a hot issue these days?
Hot issue these days is in fall of 2021, the Austin City Council adopted our new plan to address climate change. So it's called the Austin Climate Equity Plan. And City Council adopted this new plan in September of 2021.
And it's your job to carry that plan out, to implement that plan.
Yeah, it's me and my team's job to, well, we coordinated the creation of the plan. And then, yeah, now we're working hand in hand with all of our partner City of Austin departments to help implement the plan. Then the key thing about this plan is that it's focused on our entire community. So it's not just city action. It's also, all of us, businesses, individuals, our city, all taking collective action together.
Well, I know the city itself is trying to wean itself off of gas vehicles and use electric vehicles whenever possible. Oh. Are you also trying to convince other businesses to do that too?
Yes, that's a very important part of this plan. For the longest time, electricity and energy use in buildings was the largest sector of emissions. But now, as we are using more and more solar and wind without some energy for our electricity on a day-to-day basis, transportation is now the largest sector of emissions. So that's all the cars and trucks, all mm-hmm. of us driving around every day. And, you know, avoiding a trip, using your bike, walking is the easiest way to reduce emissions. But as we know, the way our city is designed and laid out, most of us are going to be using cars for the near term. And electric vehicles are a fantastic way to reduce those emissions and to get off of fossil fuels for transportation.
And one of the things that the city has to provide is places for people to plug in their electric cars.
Yeah. So Austin Energy, they do kind of two things. One thing is provide a network of public charging stations. So it's on what's called the Charge Point Network. Mm-hmm. There are over 1,000 charge points, public charge points at places like shopping malls and grocery stores, at the Domain. I have an electric vehicle. I charged my electric vehicle at the Domain this past weekend on the charging network. And then the sort of second way is that Austin Energy provides rebates for people to install charging stations in their own garages at their own homes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of people just end up charging their cars at their house. That's kind of
sure.
the easiest way.
And so you get a rebate for doing that.
Yep.
Okay. We're talking with Zach Baumer, Austin Climate Program Manager. When you juiced up your car at the Domain, how long did it take?
I have a Chevy Bolt. If I were to fully charge it all the way to the max, it would probably take 8-10 hours. But
really?
The way that the network works is I was just at the Domain for 2 hours. So I pulled into a parking garage. I saw the charging stations. I pulled right into the spot. I plugged it in. And I essentially, for the 2 hours there, I got some juice. And so my battery didn't fully recharge, but it gave me 20, 30, 40 miles of extra range that I then used, you know, throughout that day. So yeah, there's different strategies with electric vehicle charging, but the model of the charging at public places really works for just adding a little bit while you're waiting.
I'm sure that there are people here in Austin working on a plan to speed up that process. If you could fully charge your car's battery in the comparable time it takes to fill up a gas tank, that would be something.
Yeah, and there are charging stations that do that. So
really?
If you have a Tesla, their supercharger network charges at a much higher voltage and a much higher rate. So you can charge your car fully and, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, like way faster.
Wow.
And Austin Energy actually operates some of these stations too. So they're called DC fast chargers. The best place to see them is downtown. It's called Electric Drive. It's a road that's right next to the Seaholm, old Seaholm power plant.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a much bigger charger looking piece of equipment. Those could fully charge my car in, you know, half an hour.
Wow.
So, like you're saying, it gets us a lot closer to the model of a gas station.
See, every time I think of something brilliant, somebody's already doing it. You know, I thought, why not make every tile on your roof a solar panel? And I thought this is brilliant. Every tile on the roof is fully chargeable. And Tesla came out with that like a month later. So I'm glad that people are working on the things that I just think about. We're talking with Zach Baumer, Austin Climate Program Manager with the Office of Sustainability. Now, you said it was Climate Change Equity Plan. Why the word equity? Why is that in there?
The word equity is in there because our, you know, our society is not exactly equal and everyone doesn't sort of receive benefits and will be sort of affected by climate change in the same way. So, you know, if you don't have a lot of resources, you know, a flood or extreme heat or, you know, the winter storm can affect our community members in different ways. So the Climate Equity Plan was created in a way with sort of centering equity values in mind and is also aiming to sort of ensure that people who need to be protected by climate change the most and can benefit the most from, you know, saving money on their electric bill, saving money on their gas bill, can actually realize those benefits.
And I saw on your website there's help with food too, trying to find a little bit more equity in food.
But yeah, our food system, you know, is not necessarily good for the environment. It's not necessarily good for animals and treatment of animals. And, you know, it actually leads to lots of unhealthy outcomes, you know, in the world around us with the kind of foods that people can access, the price of food. So what we try to focus on in the plan is some strategies and research and further work to try to get the healthiest food that's best for the environment, best for our bodies, and make that more accessible and achievable for everyone in our community.
And I saw a kind of scary stat on y'all's webpage, again, that only 1% of the food consumed here in the Austin area is actually grown here. Not much.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Could do a lot better than that.
Yeah, most of the food is coming in on those, you know, on 18-wheelers being delivered from distribution centers and delivered from all over the country, all over the world. I mean, we really live in a globalized food system, and that's not necessarily good for the environment. And if we grow food locally, you know, we support local farmers, we support local businesses. It can be better for our bodies and for the earth.
Talking with Zach Baumer, Austin Climate Program Manager. He and his crew helped work up a plan of action for the city of Austin, which got approved, and now they're carrying out that plan. And I know one of the things that you have to do, Zach, is you have to look into the future and help the city prepare for the inevitability of climate change. And it's already here. And it's not the, like, what if kind of scenario. It's the when now. So do you have to kind of look at worst case scenario studies and plan for those?
Absolutely. You've got it right that over 1 degree centigrade or a couple degrees of Fahrenheit of warming in the atmosphere has already been measured. So humans have been emitting greenhouse gases into the atmosphere for 200 years now and changing the composition of the atmosphere. You know, while we have great plans in Austin and we are bringing emissions down globally, global emissions have not started to come down yet. So the climate is going to keep on changing as long as globally we're still emitting more and more emissions. Mm-hmm. 1 degree of warming has already occurred. We're on the way to multiple more degrees of warming. It's going to be warmer. So we work with climate scientists from Texas Tech and now at University of Texas mm-hmm. to work with modeling and try to understand how is the global climate going to change, but then how is that going to affect us regionally? And what they sort of come to is sort of 4 major risks. So extreme heat, which makes sense. If the atmosphere is hotter, it's going to be hotter during the summer. Drought. So it's likely that with hotter temperatures that we likely experience more periods of drought. And then on the flip side of that, extreme rainfall. Because if you have more energy in the atmosphere and more evaporation happening, there's more energy to create extreme rainfall and flash flooding. And then the final one is the risk of wildfire. As you've seen, if you follow the weather, there's been a lot of fire weather recently, mm-hmm. an extreme fire, wildfire risk. And what that means is just dry conditions, hot conditions, and then extreme wind. So when you have wind, that's what sort of ends up creating the conditions for wildfire. So yeah, so we work with these scientists to get these projections for climate change. And then it's me and my team's job to talk to Austin Energy staff, talk to Austin Water staff, you know, work with our Homeland Security and Emergency Management Department and help the city try to understand what do those risks mean? How can we mitigate those risks? And how do we plan for the long term and not just the short term?
The fire danger is serious. I talked to some fire officials a couple of years ago from Westlake, and they were like, it's not a question of if now, but when, though we have a really bad fire here in, you can't pinpoint it, but somewhere in Central Texas, I think we're like in top five in the country as far as places that are susceptible to a bad fire.
Yeah, I think so.
Also, water is a limited resource. We're doing okay here now, especially compared to people who are dependent on the other Colorado River for their water out there. It's pretty scary when you see the pictures of what Lake Powell looks like now. But what is the long-term water plan for Austin?
Yeah, so the Austin Water has a plan called Water Forward, where they are, and this is their, you know, their own planning effort that they've created within the water utility, where they are trying to look at a 100-year time frame, because for planning for something as important, as essential as water for our community, they need to really look at the long term. So in that plan, they have incorporated climate change and climate change effects into that plan, as well as, you know, growth in our community, growth in our population, and are starting to try to look at all of the options for what is demand, what is future demand going to look like, how climate change might affect our water supply, and then try to implement strategies to make sure that we do have a secure water source for the long term.
I know I do, and I think a lot of people do. They think of Austin as a fairly green city, that we are a little bit more conscious of all of this than the average community. Are we?
Yes, I think so. there's a couple angles on that. I mean, one angle is that, you know, our green spaces in the city, from, you know, the green belt to tree neighborhoods. I mean, there are lots of sort of green, beautiful areas in our community.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the next part of it is kind of the overall feeling and the kind of culture of folks caring about the environment, taking action, supporting elected officials and supporting our city programs to do green things for the community. There's that. And then I think this third thing is it really comes down to local government and Austin Energy and Austin Water really being proactive and doing all that they can and communicating about that and, you know, trying to deliver results. So I think we're moving on all of those different areas. And if you looked at other cities or have lived in another city, I think you'll probably hear about green things more in Austin. And I think we are collectively moving faster than a lot of communities on these issues.
In your experience, and I'm sure you pay attention to what other cities are doing, what are some other cities that are really doing it right?
Well, you know, one thing that some other cities are kind of ahead of us on is public transportation.
Yeah.
So that's one where, you know, if you go to a lot of major cities, you don't have to drive around in a car. You can use public transportation to get from place to place. So that's an area where we're really catching up, where Project Connect is underway. Hopefully that light rail system gets built out in the next, you know, decade. And we really have better public transportation solutions, but that's one area where I think we are sort of behind.
Yeah. We're still just a one train town.
Yep.
Yeah. I would love to be able to, I live in Southwest Austin. I'd love to be able to take the train downtown. It's going to be a long time, I think, before they get to our neighborhood. So yep. Zach, you've been working in this field for a long time with the city and then private businesses. Before that, you have a better understanding than certainly most people about what changes we're going to have to deal with. What particularly keeps you up at night?
Yeah, what keeps me awake at night? You know, I have elementary school children, so, you know, I think about their future. You know, I do worry about the climate changing and about extreme weather affecting, you know, water supply, affecting our food system, about affecting our way of life. You know, I think in terms of reducing emissions locally, I worry most about the transportation system. Because, you know, even though we have electric vehicles available, even though we have public transportation coming, if you go out to any given street in Austin right now, you're going to see all gasoline and diesel cars driving up and down those roads. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's people sitting idling cars. You know, when I pick up my kids from school, I see lines of cars and people are just sitting in their car with the car on. You know, it's a nice day outside and I'm like, could we turn off the cars and just enjoy the fresh air? I worry about us getting there with getting off of gasoline and diesel for cars and trucks and getting there quicker.
It's a good concern. You know, I hadn't really thought of it that way, but picking up kids at school is kind of an environmental hazard in its own way, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. You guys have some challenging work to do, and we appreciate the fact that you're doing it. Zach Baumer, who is, again, the Austin Climate Program Manager for the City of Austin's Office of Sustainability. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. You know, I love listening to Sun Radio and hearing you all, you know, supporting sun-powered radio and, you know, and supporting that culture of greenness in our city and our community and people understanding that it's important and it's valuable and it's achievable and we can do this if we work together.
My microphone is solar-powered.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Zach. I appreciate your time. Again, Zach Baumer from the City of Austin's Office of Sustainability, and I also appreciate you listening and welcome any comments about today's program or suggestions for future topics you would like to hear addressed here on the Sun Radio Regional Report. Just send me a message at studio@sunradio.com.